Hello and welcome to this week's program of Ukraine Calling. I'm Marta Dychok for Hromadske Radio in Kyiv. And as always, we're bringing you a feature interview followed by some music. This week, we're going to be talking about Oleg Sentsov. He's a Ukrainian filmmaker from Crimea who is currently a political prisoner in Russia. On May the 14th, he began a hunger strike. To talk a little bit more about this to help explain what's happening, we have in studio with us Maxim Butkevich. Maxim Butkevich is a human rights activist. He has university degrees from two universities, from the Taras Shevchenko University in Ukraine and Sussex University in Britain. Currently, he is the coordinator of the No Borders Project, which is a nonprofit organization focusing on human rights. Mr. Butkevich, thank you very much for finding the time to speak to us and welcome to Ukraine Calling.
Thank you.
Let's start with a little bit of background. If you could remind our listeners why Oleg Sentsov, a Ukrainian filmmaker from Crimea, why is he in a Russian jail?
Thank you very much, Marta, for the invitation. And Oleg Sentsov, his case is a striking one, an exemplary one in many ways, and the most recent developments are extremely alarming. What surrounds his hunger strike? Just to remind our listeners that he was a part of protests at Maidan in 2013-2014. He was part of Automaidan movement.
Here in Kyiv or in Crimea?
Both in Kyiv and Crimea. Here in Kyiv, he was part of the logistical support for Automaidan. And while back in Crimea, he was very active when peaceful protests against the beginning of Russian occupation of the peninsula started.
So this was in February of 2014, March 2014.
February and March, and in March and April, he was very active when it comes to supplies to, at the time, besieged Ukrainian troops at the peninsula. He was part of peaceful protests against Russian occupation, and he was well known as an activist. On May the 10th of 2014, he was arrested by Russian Federal Security Service in Crimea, and together with three other persons, he was charged with setting up and leading terrorist organization. He was accused of being behind plots to bomb several infrastructural objects, he was named a ringleader for this supposedly terrorist organization, which, as it was stated by the Russian security services, was organized and coordinated by the right sector from Kyiv. All the accusations at the time even sounded extremely absurd, because they had no proofs whatsoever when it came to Oleg. The only statements accusing him of being a leader of this organization and in general being involved in any such activities were received under torture from two other persons who were also accused of being part of this.
So he was one of four people who were arrested. And when were they transferred to, were they charged in Crimea or?
They were transferred first to Moscow, to infamous Lefortovo prison, former KGB prison. And then him and another prisoner, Alexander Kolchenko, who is also an activist from Crimea, an anarchist and anti-fascist. So all the accusations that he was also led by the right sector,
which is a right-wing organization.
Right-wing organization. They seemed even more Kafkaesque against his background. And they were tried in 2015 by the military tribunal in Rostov-na-Donu,
which is in the Russian Federation.
So basically they were shipped out of the occupied peninsula against international law. They were named Russian nationals, Russian citizens, even if they never applied for Russian citizenship and they never received a Russian passport. But Russian Federation authorities stated that they are Russians.
So basically Russian citizenship was imposed on them.
Yes, and Alexander Kolchenko was also de facto stripped of his Ukrainian citizenship. He never had a chance to see Ukrainian consul, for instance. And Oleg was afterwards sentenced to 20 years of strict penal colony, and Alexander Kolchenko 10 years of strict penal colony. So since then, Oleg first was kept in Yakutsk in the far north of Russia, and then he was transferred to even harsher conditions, to Labytnangi, which is in the Arctic polar circle, basically. Extremely harsh weather conditions and very damaging to anyone's health, leaving alone prisoners in local colony. And this is where he declared the hunger strike on May the 14th.
It's very far from Ukraine where he's being held. And I want to ask you about who has contact with him. What do we know about the state of his health? Because information, how does it circulate from somebody who's held in these conditions in such a remote area?
It is extremely difficult to reach that area, and we consider his transfer there actually to be aimed at making communications of any kind more difficult. The only person who has access to him, whose information we can trust, is his lawyer, who has to fly from Moscow to local city and then take a helicopter to reach the colony.
So it's a long trip.
It's a long trip and extremely expensive. According to his most recent information, Oleg, as he stated at the very beginning as well, has no intention to cease the hunger strike. He lost weight a lot. He tries not to get up basically from his bed in order to save energy as much as possible. And his health problems, which existed before, of course, became harsher. Otherwise, other informations we received sometimes look more like disinformation or misinformation. For instance, about a week ago, Russian ombudsman stated that Oleg Sentsov not only did not lose weight, he gained weight, she stated, and that his health conditions are excellent. It sounds extremely cynical. And while we speak in these days and in previous week, Ukrainian ombudsman Lyudmila Denisova tried in vain to access Oleg Sentsov in his colony.
Can you explain how that works? Ukraine has an ombudsman, and she made a formal request to whom? I mean, what is the procedure of an ombudsman requesting access, and what she's being denied access? So if you could explain a little bit how that works.
At this time, Ukrainian ombudsman contacted her Russian counterpart, Ms. Moskalkova, and they reached an agreement that Ukrainian ombudsman will visit Ukrainian political prisoners in Russia, while Russian ombudsman will visit several prisoners kept in Ukraine for participation in the armed aggression against Ukraine, treason or attempt to destroy Ukrainian, the state of Ukraine, basically.
And this agreement was just recently reached, is that
it
correct?
It was very recent.
Just like in the last week or so.
It was about 2 weeks ago when the negotiations started. And afterwards, strange things started to happen, because after this agreement, Ukrainian ombudsman tried to access Ukrainian prisoners, and she never succeeded.
So she went to Russia, she flew to Moscow, and then what happened?
She was in Moscow meeting her Russian counterpart, then she went to Labytnangi to visit Oleg, and she just was not allowed in. She stood in front of the gates in vain. Then she flew to another place where another Ukrainian prisoner is kept, and she was denied access as well, under formal pretexts. And most recently, her and her Russian counterpart flew back to Oleg's colony, where the door was effectively closed in her face. Russian ombudsman got access to the colony while Ukrainian ombudsman was left outside. So it also looks very Kafkaesque and very cynical, but unfortunately, we hoped that she will be another source of information about the state of Oleg's health, but it doesn't seem to happen.
Do we have any idea how much information Oleg Sentsov is receiving? Does he know that the ombudsman is trying to see him? Does he know that there are all these protests happening all over the world demanding his release? Do we have any idea what he knows?
Fortunately, some time ago, he was allowed to see his friend, who is also a film director, and he authored the first and currently the only film about Oleg, Askold Kurov, his name.
Is he Ukrainian? Is he Russian?
He is Russian filmmaker, but he shot his film both in Ukraine and in Russia. And this film is currently in public domain because he decided to provide access to this film free of charge to anyone who would like to learn more about Oleg.
So we'll post that on our website to our listeners.
It is subtitled, by the way, in English, so there should be no problem to watch it. And he got access to Oleg, and he managed to tell Oleg about this wave of protests around the world and his support. Oleg was surprised and pleased, and it looked like he did not have any idea to what extent his action, his hunger strike, became an extremely important piece of news for so many people. And of course, his lawyer provides some information to him, but also we understand that this is it. Basically, he doesn't have any other access to any other information, maybe from some postcards, which he still receives from Russian human rights defenders.
There's a project, Postcards for Political Prisoners, out of Canada. So they were wondering if these postcards are getting through, so hopefully they are. But this international attention, international pressure, this is one mechanism that's being used. But what is the way to get political prisoners released in a country that has a non-democratic government, frankly? To what degree does the Ukrainian government have any levers, the international community? What mechanisms are there to try to get him out?
Unfortunately, we see in this situation that there is no silver bullet. There is no one or two actions which we can take in order to get our prisoners released. But there should be a combination of efforts from so many people, so many countries, and still we are not sure about the outcome. We see that Kremlin authorities manifestly ignore all the protests and all the solidarity campaign. But still from certain statements and hints, we see that they get nervous about it. Also because Oleg prepared his hunger strike in advance. He calculated time, he prepared his body, his only weapon he uses now with this hunger strike. He made himself a weapon. Apparently incarcerated, he became more dangerous to Kremlin than if he was free at large in Ukraine. And he calculated time so that his hunger strike and news about it will be spread during the football championship, which takes place in Russia. This is a moment in time when almost the whole world watches Russia for very different reason, but it's extremely difficult to ignore that at the very moment when this celebration of sports and festival takes place, someone dies being incarcerated for political reasons in jail in the very same country. So Oleg is in his cold mind, he calculated time, and this is probably also why his action is so important and popular.
To interrupt, there have been at least one case that I can remember where the Russian authorities under Putin were sensitive to pressure, and this was the release of Pussy Riot back 2 years ago. It was, I think, in part because of the international outcry against their... I mean, they spent 2 years in jail, but they were then released. I mean, does that suggest that perhaps
This is something we hope for, of course, but also we see that the context is different. We hoped that maybe Putin will like to make, goodwill gesture from newly elected president, Tsar of Russian Federation, and will release at least Oleg Sentsov or maybe a few others, but it never happened. Also, we've heard several comments from different persons, starting with his lawyer and ending with some Russian filmmakers and journalists, that Oleg seems to became a personal enemy of Vladimir Putin, because no one dared to publicly say things about Putin and about Russian occupation in the way Oleg did it during his trial. It was very public.
And it was resonated internationally.
And yes, it was quoted in many different places around the world. So this is another factor. And of course, the very fact that his case was one of the first cases of Ukrainian political prisoners in Russia. And the case was an example to anyone who would oppose in Crimea Russian occupation. Basically, these four persons arrested in May 2014, they were put to jail to scare off all the others who would dare to keep their heads up, saying loudly that this is military occupation, that Crimea is part of Ukraine. So it's a matter of principle, in a way, to Kremlin authorities. It's related to the plight of Crimean Peninsula, not only to Oleg or someone else.
You mentioned that Oleg is using the only weapon he has, which is his body. To what degree do you think that this, I don't quite know how to phrase this question, hunger strikes end usually in one of two ways, right? Either somebody passes away or they're force fed. Is there any evidence that Oleg is being force fed?
Not yet. Fortunately, we don't have any evidence that he is force fed. But of course, the fact that he is not allowed to see Ukrainian ombudsman is very alarming.
Yeah, we don't really know.
It gives rise to all sorts of suspicions. So we now wait for the next visit of his lawyer to find out what's happening. He was medically supplied with glucose and vitamins with his agreement. So it's something very different. It's basically providing chemicals important for the body in order to postpone, to an extent possible, effects of the hunger strike, which can be irreversible. But this is it. And legally, under Russian legislation, he cannot be force-fed, at least until he is considered to be sane, sound, and he can voice his opposition to this. Of course,
it would be embarrassing for Putin if he did die as a result of this hunger strike, which is why it occurred to me that they might do everything to keep him alive.
Maybe.
But let's hope that that's not going to happen. I recently came across an article that Sentsov is still working on a play. A man who's in prison, who is on hunger strike, is still being an artist. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I don't know much about it. What we know from Oleg himself in his letters, he described it, and from his lawyer. He's written several short stories while being still in Yakutsk colony and now in Lobetnangi. He works on a bigger book, maybe a novel, and he worked and continues to work even now, as far as we know, on a play. He's written several plays while in jail behind bars, and he tries to, again, to an extent possible, to be in touch with his colleagues here in Ukraine who stage his one of his plays now. But this play was written before he was put behind bars.
What's the name of the play, do you remember?
That one.
So that's being staged.
Numbers. It's called Numbers.
And it's playing in Kyiv right now?
It will be in a few days, at least as far as I know about the plans. And it was staged before by several theatrical collectives, including Theater Doc Collective in Moscow. New plays and new short stories. Oleg refuses to pass...
To share with the world.
To share with the world because he still wants to put them on the stage himself while released. It was his position as a matter of principle. I don't know if he will change it, but this is what we know. He continues to create even under these extremely harsh conditions he is in now.
And believes that he will be able to stage these plays and share them with the world once he's released.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Butkevich, thank you very much for sharing all this information. Is there anything that you would like to add that I haven't asked you?
You asked a question I never responded to about the efforts which were undertaken by the Ukrainian government and international efforts. Ukrainian government started to intensify negotiations, as far as we know, when it comes to release of Ukrainian political prisoners, maybe exchange for Russian
invasion. So prisoner swap.
But so far, what is made public, we see that apparently Russian authorities are not interested in Russian nationals being held in Ukrainian prisons. They were used during the military aggression, and then they seem to be dumped, apart from maybe 3-4 persons who have certain political weight. International solidarity campaign on very different levels is probably the only tool which can be used to get our prisoners out, and happens on different levels. While we talk, Parliamentary Assembly of Council of Europe adopted a resolution calling Russia to release Ukrainian political prisoners and to refrain from use of torture and cruel inhuman treatment of prisoners. Before that, we saw the Secretary General of the Council of Europe personally appealing to President Putin to release Ukrainian political prisoners, and this was rejected publicly straight away in quite, I would say, non-diplomatic language. But it still continues. So we see that Ukrainian government, together with activists around the world and political organizations and human rights organizations around the world, try to keep up and put up more pressure on Kremlin. We hope for best, but of course we see that now Oleg is in his second month of a hunger strike. And if it continues this way, it looks more and more like a looming tragedy.
We will have to wait and see what happens.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for sharing that information, your insight. We've been speaking with Maxim Butkevich, coordinator of the No Borders Project here in Kyiv. I'm Marta Dechok for Hromadske Radio. Найкращий друг, best friend. That's the title of a new single just released by the Kyiv band Violet, which means violet. My favorite line in the song is «Все в нас попереду», «Everything is ahead of us», reminiscent of Jack Kerouac, «On the Road». The video of the song also has the band on the road, driving in a car singing. We'll post a link to it on our website. Enjoy! Join us again next week, and we'll bring you another in-depth interview and some new music from Ukraine. So tune in, and we'd be very happy to receive feedback from you. Write to us at Ukraine Calling, all one word, ukrainecalling@hromadskiradio.org. This is Marta Dichok in Kyiv. Thanks for listening.